Jason, I think you nailed it. Where to start here on a game like this? 3-1 Atlanta United getting two goals in the final 15 minutes to break a tie. They get 3 points on a weekend where New York City and Red Bulls both dropped. And, oh, by the way, Joseph Martinez now shares the MLS single-season goal-scoring record with still 8 matches to play. He'll have a chance to break the record Friday night in Orlando. But another exhibit of Atlanta United's resiliency, and we have seen it time after time this year, and now 9-0-1 this season in matches following a game in which they dropped points.
Shows the mental strength of this team, and the second half showed it today. When you go down 1-1, and how many times have we seen this where everybody gets a little tense when the score is tight late in a match for Atlanta United? We've had some opportunities here lately where you've had goals given up late and dropped points. This was one where Atlanta came back to grab all 3 points, and it was at a time where they needed to. They got help last night from Vancouver, from Philadelphia, and they needed 3 points tonight to take full advantage, and they did. It's a big opportunity, I think, for this team to gather a little momentum before they go out for 4 matches in a row on the road. There is a week in between for international play, and we will see some Atlanta United players busy with their national teams. But they needed this momentum going into this road stretch.
The man of the match brought to you by Heineken. It seems amazing that Joseph Martinez can have that record-tying goal and an assist. And I know he's the man of the match at the stadium, and that would be a fine choice for us. I wouldn't have an issue with Franco Escobar. Julian Gressel played great today. Chris McCann playing hurt in the second half looked very good. But I think Miguel Almiron really needed a match like this today. A little bit shaky in recent weeks. Got the goal in the 82nd minute. So critical in the build-up today. All over the pitch. His work rate unquestioned. He's our man of the match brought to you by Heineken.
Yeah, don't forget a guy like Tito Villalba either. I thought he had a great day as well. Yeah. But Miguel was our winner because he created 5 chances more than anyone else on the field today. Completed passes at an 86% clip. Very involved defensively, and it didn't really show up in terms of tackles, but Almiron consistently tracking back to harass Opoku when he was trying to break, or Awful when he was trying to break, caused Higuain to have some bad turnovers. Complete performance from Miguel, and that goal to cap it was really what this team needed. Now you can answer that question about other guys scoring. Tito and Miguel got on the mark today.
And it was Joseph Martinez who assisted on the Almiron goal. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, why isn't Joseph your man of the match? Clearly he should be. And he's absolutely very, very, very qualified to be so. We saw him doing work in the midfield at the end of the match again. I mean, there's only so many bouquets we can toss at Joseph Martinez. And when he breaks the goal-scoring record, hopefully Friday, he'll be the man of the match then. But today it's Miguel Almiron, the man of the match. Brought to you by Heineken. Final stats, a lot closer than the 3-1 scoreline indicates. 52-48 the possession in favor of Atlanta United. 18-13 the shots in favor of Atlanta United. 5 of the shots on target for Atlanta United. 3 for Columbus Crew. Atlanta United, this was one of the big differences. 9 corners to Columbus's 1. Columbus did not have a corner in the second half. Atlanta United drawing 8 fouls, Columbus drawing 10. Atlanta United passing at 84%, Columbus passing at 86%. Columbus won 57% of the duels. I really came away very impressed with Columbus Crew. They lose the season series 2-0 to Atlanta United on a 5-1 aggregate, but I think numbers can be a little misleading. There were stretches of the matchup in Columbus on June 13th where they controlled play. And the span of time between the Martinez goal and maybe 10, 15 minutes after the Zardes goal, they were in control of the match today.
They did. They had their moments. And Atlanta United, for whatever reason, seems to have Columbus's number for the most part. Even with the playoff loss and penalties, no one scored in that match. Atlanta United had a run of over 400 minutes where they kept Columbus off the board before the goal today. It's been a pretty dominant performance from Atlanta United against Columbus over the 5 games now that they've faced off. What was interesting to me, though, was Greg Berhalter at the end going to the 2 up top. That's not something that he ordinarily does. To me, that was Greg Berhalter saying, we can compete with this team, but we can't beat this team playing straight up. We have to find something different. And that's something to look for if these teams face off again down the road.
Well, and that's very possible. Columbus Crew probably going to be the fourth seed in the East. It is possible for them to move up, unlikely. It is possible for them to move down. That might be a little more likely. But let's say Atlanta United wins the Supporters' Shield and Columbus were to win their knockout playoff game over Philadelphia, Montreal, D.C., someone like that. It's Atlanta United and Columbus playing legs in round two. And we would be going back up to Columbus and we'd be seeing these guys again.
Yep. I mean, when you start to get into this time of the year, there's not really, as challenging as Columbus can be, there's not really an opponent that you're looking forward to seeing at this stage. That's the problem. I mean, you look throughout the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, we know the quality of the two teams out in New York. We've seen it from Columbus, even though Atlanta's had their number in regular season play. We know how tight it can be. Philadelphia playing great here in this stretch of play right now. They outplayed NYC last night. And DC United or Montreal with their veteran presence, DC would have to have a ton of momentum if they get into that final playoff spot. There's a lot of opportunities here for teams to make a run late. The Eastern Conference, while you have three teams that are pulling away, that's the beauty of Major League Soccer. That doesn't guarantee you anything because you go into a playoff situation.
Well, only two clubs in MLS currently control their own destiny to win the Supporters' Shield. That's Atlanta United and New York Red Bulls, and they are careening to a showdown on September the 30th up in Red Bull Arena. But now Atlanta United goes on a four-game road trip. None of the games look overly intimidating, but you have to be so careful when you go to Orlando. D.C. is ascendant right now. San Jose, who knows? Colorado, who knows? You have to play in thin air. But at least with three home games remaining now for Atlanta United, they've gotten over 50 points, the first club in MLS to do that this year. Like I said, we will speak to Jeff Lorenowitz. We'll also have the scoring summary and the highlights coming up right after this on the full-time report. Send us your tweets again at MikeConti929 at Longshoe and at ATLSoccer929. More in a moment, 3-1 Atlanta United over Columbus Crew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back on the full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta United playing to a 3-1 victory over Columbus Crew this afternoon in front of 45,309 supporters at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Big result on a weekend where New York City and New York Red Bulls both dropped points, and Jeff Lorenowitz again, very, very solid for Atlanta United today. Played center back at times, played in the midfield at times, and had the assist on what, Jeff, we are calling the goal of the year, what Tito had there in the 76th minute. Thanks for joining us down in the dressing room. What was your view of that goal once you sent the ball up to him?
Well, to be honest, when the cross came in from Miram, it hits my hand. I'm just trying to clear it away so that the ball's nowhere near me so that the ref can't call it. Somehow it goes to Tito, and he takes care of the rest. How I get an assist on that, I don't know, but I guess it came from me last. You know, he did all the work.
Jeff, thank you for not making the handball clear and obvious then.
Yeah, well, if you kick it away that far, it can't be that obvious, right?
Talk about the resiliency of your club, Jeff. You're now 9-0-1 this season in matches following a game in which you drop points. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think that we're incredibly focused right now. I think that in games recently where we might have given up late goals and kind of let ourselves down a bit, the week off gave us a chance to refocus. And obviously, this is the home stretch, 10 final games, some very difficult opponents, including tonight. And to get 3 points is vital at this point.
How did you feel the reaction from the team was in the second half after giving up the equalizer? Seemed to be a pretty quick regroup from you guys and bouncing back and taking control of the game.
Yeah, unfortunately, we were flat at the beginning of the second half. I mean, you look at the Toronto game, it's the last 5 minutes of the half, and tonight it was the first five of the second half. I think at the same time Columbus comes out, they make maybe a little tactical shift, put us under a little more pressure, and we just didn't handle it. But once we gave up the goal, I think that we really took control of the game, and the goals from Miguel and Tito are just kind of classic special stuff that we've been been seeing for a few years now.
Jeff, you've been in this league a long time. You're one of the most veteran active players in all of MLS, not just on Atlanta United. Did you ever imagine in the span of your long career you would see someone in MLS with 27 goals in 25 games?
No. I mean, even when the other guys have done it, Wando, you know, recently, and Bradley Wright, even then you're thinking, man, that's a lot of goals. And that's in 34, and this guy's doing it in 25. He's just on fire. He's in the zone. He's a guy that's just, you know, when he's behind the arc, you give it to him because he's going to chuck it in. That's kind of what he's doing right now. Every time it comes near him, it's going in the net.
The attack gets talked about so often for Atlanta United, but I want to hear from you a little bit about the defensive side, and especially now with Eric Rometty in the team. It was real fluid for you today in the second half when Columbus threw on Patrick Mullins. You were able to drop into the back line and trust Eric in front of you. How has that relationship been with you and Eric so quickly?
Well, he's a very, very good player, first of all. I think he comes in and he solidifies and kind of balances our team a bit. You know, the difference between him and Darlington is I think that Eric is more of a ball winner. Darlington's more of a passer and assister. I think that, you know, with Eric, it allows me to drop back and help the defense when I need to, and he's good enough to distribute as well. So I think it balances us. It puts, you know, more or less five or six defensive players on the field, but also the sixth is Eric, and he can kind of go both ways.
Quick turnaround now to Friday night, a match at Orlando. How important is it going to be for you and your club to get that regen day in tomorrow and then really get back at training on Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll be in at 9 o'clock tomorrow. So, you know, there's no real rest. Like I said, we're focused. This is the time of the year when you know, there's no excuses. You just have to be a professional, take care of yourself. And the joys in life come on Saturdays, Sundays, Fridays, you know, at 9:30 when you get a win.
Jeff, how was your beach vacation with Chris McCann?
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, just kids throwing sands. It was wonderful.
I saw some photos of you and Chris also playing some games in the sand, I thought.
Oh, we did. We got sunburnt. You know, two freckled redheaded guys out there in Hilton Head just getting sunburnt. But it was good. It was good to recharge the batteries a little bit.
Jeff, we'll see you Friday night down in Orlando. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys. See ya.
Jeff Lorena was joining us on the full-time report. Another heavy workload for Jeff today. He's just so solid. Took a shot. Had the assist, although, he said he had handball on the clear.
Let's hit his hand.
Well, let's now go back to that. We were talking about that during the run of play, but I guess we have to bring this up now. Columbus was really protesting for handball. Jerome Marufo was right on top of it, very demonstrative, said play on. There was a check by John Freeman, but the VAR, but this goes back into the question of whether or not it was a clear and obvious error. The VAR, John Freeman, and whoever the assistant VAR is, thought not. And I guess this will be talked about a little bit, but quite frankly, you know, the system worked. It wasn't a clear and obvious error.
I'm sure it will be talked about, and I'll be curious to see if Greg Berhalter mentions it in his post-game comments. Look, it was a cross right into Jeff Lorenowitz's hands, who were down by his side. They were not out in an unnatural position. It actually looked like he was trying to draw his right arm even further away. There's nothing he can do there. It's ball to hand, and there is an element of intent when handling is called. There's nothing he can do in that situation, and I thought Marufo handled it incredibly well because he was very demonstrative when there were complaints right as it happened with having his arm down, pointing at his arm, and then waving it off. He was very clear in his mannerisms as to, no, I saw it, and I saw what happened, and this is what happened, in my opinion.
It would have been interesting, though, would it not, if John Freeman were the center ref today and Jair Marufo was the VAR, because we've seen several times now with a more senior VAR up in the booth, often when they call down to advise the center ref, it's more of a order from a more senior referee. Jair Marufo, a World Cup referee, probably the best referee in North America, if not one of the best, and the goal was allowed to stand. Wouldn't it have been something, though, if the Villalba goal was wiped out on a play that had that occurred 90 yards away from goal 20 to 25 seconds before the goal was scored?
Which, if it had been decided that it needed to be called the handball there, then that's what would have happened, and that's where the system is in place for. So in this case, I think, yes, that Marufo as the senior referee here did help Freeman is a referee who has reffed in USL. He has not refereed in Major League Soccer yet. He's a regular VAR, though. So I'm sure he had input. We don't know what the conversation was between Freeman and Marufo, and we'll never know that. But there was a check. It was discussed. But I think the fact that Marufo was right there and incredibly clear in what he saw and pointing it out to everyone on the field, I think that helped make that check go a little faster.
All right, let's have the scoring summary and the highlights now from this 3-1 Atlanta United victory over Columbus Crew. Both clubs playing to a stalemate, really, in the first 30 minutes. Atlanta United did get a couple corner kicks. Columbus Crew did have one very good opportunity in the first 10 minutes. But we came in today wondering, would this be Joseph Martinez's historic day? And indeed it was. He tied the MLS single-season goal-scoring record, and he did it here in the 31st minute. Terrible pass to trap, intercepted by Gressel, and up ahead to Joseph Martinez, dribbling right down the middle. One on three, Joseph to the spot, a shot, score! He's tied the record! We still haven't seen a replay to go all the way back to who made that terrible pass, as I called it. It was a terrible pass intended for Will Trapp, but credit Julian Gressel to spin it back the other way. But it was the finish of Joseph Martinez. We have not really seen him score a goal like that this season from that kind of distance.
No, it's Joseph Martinez on the dribble and from the edge of the box. It's not something that we have seen from Joseph this season. It's something that, if you followed his career, he's been incredibly capable of, but it's not something that usually happens in this system. Here, he gets the opportunity, creates the space, and it's a little bit of a curling effort with the left foot. Perfectly placed shot.
Higuain very nearly scored for Columbus right at the end of the first half. Skipped one just wide of the near post, so it was 1-0 Atlanta United at halftime. But Columbus was on the front foot to begin the second half, and 5 minutes into the restart of play, Jozy Zardes equalized for Columbus Crew. Played parallel to the halfway line to Will Trapp at the kickoff spot, and he sends it down the middle to a wide-open Zardes. Zardes at the top of the arc. His shot, score! Jozy Zardes walking in alone down the middle of the park and then drives it past a diving Guzan into the lower right corner, and Columbus has equalized here in the 50th minute. Well, Atlanta United's sweet spot this year in terms of goal scoring has been between minutes 46 and 60, but I think you have to give Columbus Crew a lot of credit coming out of the dressing room at halftime, feeling like they could get that equalizer, and Zardes made a really good play.
Yeah, he did. Things kind of broke down, as Lorenowitz told us. You know, it was just a little flat coming into the second half for Atlanta United. And it's something that has been kind of weird. You know, usually teams have these moments in games where things get a little flat. It's just not quite there, and you're able to ride them out. It feels like every time that happens to Atlanta United, they get punished.
So 1-1 at that point, and we would remain level for 27 minutes. And then in the 77th minute, Tito Villalba, I'm calling it the goal of the year for Atlanta United. I'm a little bit nervous to hear this. Here is the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. Sent down the right side, Tito Villalba dribbling in again to the attacking third. Villalba into the box, cuts left. Tito, is he going to walk in? Shoots! Score! Golazo! Golazo! Unbelievable goal! Well, okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so 2-1 Atlanta United at that. But it was the goal of the year. It was the goal.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think my call really did it justice because there was a lot of body English. There was a lot of touching. There was a lot of
Where's this going?
Touching of the ball.
Okay, fair enough.
Thanks, Jason.
Wasn't sure what road we were going down there.
Touching of the soccer ball. It's just a great individual play by Tito Villalba. There's no other way to say it. A great run, a great finish. The goal of the year for Atlanta United.
When you folks who are leaving Mercedes-Benz Stadium and listening to us right now, when you get home, I want you to go to YouTube, and I want you to, one, look at this goal, because I'm sure it's up there by now, and I want you to look at Tito's first ever professional goal for San Lorenzo. Kind of similar. This one's probably a little bit better, but kind of similar, and it shows the game-breaking speed that Tito Villalba has and his control on the dribble.
So Atlanta United now with a 2-1 lead, but then Columbus comes right back, creates a couple chances, so you really got the feeling that Atlanta United did not have it put away yet. But then a beautiful, beautiful team goal with Joseph Martinez and Tito Villalba assisting to Miguel Almiron, who broke his personal scoring drought. Dribbling to the top of the box, leaving it towards Santos, and then stepping in and walking out of there is Chris McCann. A great job by him, and playing it up to Villalba. Tito Villalba coming down the right wing. Tito Villalba to the edge of the 18 to Joseph, top of the box. Leaves it off for Miguel. Shot! Score! Almost from the exact same place in the park where Miggy scored his golazo against DC United all the way back the second week of the season on March the 10th. Great team goal, unselfish by Joseph Martinez, just kind of leaving it off for Almiron, who could run on and take a full strike on it. He bounces it past Zach Steffen. And I kind of get the feeling now, Miguel, with 9 goals on the year, now the monkey's off his back a little bit. I don't think he was really stressing about that goal-scoring drought, but he's had some moments of some really awkward finishing lately. This will help.
Yeah, it'll definitely help. But let's go all the way back. Chris McCann, the defensive play he made at the top of the 18, cutting across the box to jump into the passing lane. And then what I love about it is he's on his right foot, which is not his predominant foot, and he doesn't just play it into the stands and reset. He bends a right-footed ball down the line into Tito Villalba's run, and that opened everything up. Villalba then with a perfect cross to Martinez at the top of the 18. Joseph lays it off for Miguel, and there's your goal, and there's the kill shot. There's that third goal, the mythical third goal. Atlanta United 8-0-0 when they score 3 or more.
I got a couple more for you here. Atlanta United now 8-2-4 at home this year. We told you 9-0-1 in matches after they dropped points. Here's one more. I know there are some experts who have pointed out that Atlanta United have not played very well against the quote-unquote good teams. Atlanta United is now 8-3-3 this season against clubs that are currently above the playoff line, and against teams currently above the playoff line in the East, 6-1-2. That's good, right? I don't know. I
mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You don't have to be an MD to know that that's pretty good.
Here's something that I break it down a little bit further when I look at this. I look at the top 8, and for me, the top 8 teams in MLS this season are the top 4 in the East who have separated themselves from the rest of the East. It's Atlanta, it's NYC, it's the Red Bulls, it's Columbus. And then out West, it's Portland, it's LAFC, it's Kansas City, and it's Dallas. Atlanta United against the top 8, 3-3-3. They're right in the middle against that. Against everybody else, they're 12-1-3. They take care of business against the teams that they need to take care of business against. And that record is getting better week by week against the top 8.
And their victories over Montreal and Philadelphia, they've dominated Philadelphia this year. That starts to look a little bit better. What they did against Montreal starting to look a little bit better. If you look at the West, what they did to LA Galaxy, what they've done to LAFC, that starts to look a little bit better. The cream rises to the top here as we get into the final months of the season in MLS. And now with 8 matches remaining for Atlanta United, they control their own destiny to win the Supporters' Shield. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they'll donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Brad Guzan with 6 clean sheets on the air. That's $12,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. We will get to your feedback and your questions right after this on Twitter at MikeConti929, at Longshu, and at ATLSoccer929. Last call. We'll get to it right after this on the full-time report. 3-1 Atlanta United over Columbus Crew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can we get into this for a second? Because Bow Wow from Columbus. This was his first big hit. Who brought Bow Wow to the stage?
Jermaine Dupri.
Where's Jermaine Dupri from?
Georgia? Somewhere? Atlanta, I think?
I think so. So deaf.
Well, there's kind of an urban legend about my buddy Shad Moss, and he is a friend of mine. And for those of you who may remember, there was a slight incident before a Falcons playoff game involving me and Shad Moss being on the sideline. I pointed out on Twitter that Shad Moss dated Sierra, who is the wife of Russell Wilson. Bomani Jones called me a misogynist for doing that, which I'm still not sweating. But in the tweet, I called him Little Bow Wow because that's what I thought his name was. I didn't know he was Shad Moss.
Mike.
I want you all to know that Shad Moss and I, and I'm not joking. Like, I'll joke with you guys from time to time. This is not a joke. This is me being serious. We made peace. Ryan Cameron, our buddy, brokered a little meeting the next week on the sideline before the Packers game. We were good. Shad My guy Shad loved it. He thought it was hilarious. Okay, so for all of you back in January of 2017 who were trying to start something, we're good. We are good. Shad Moss and I, but you're right, he is from Columbus, Ohio. On the full-time report after victories, we play the music of the city in which we conquered. Today it's Columbus, Ohio. Atlanta United conquered. Jason and I didn't conquer anything. And it was 3-1 today, Atlanta United over Columbus Crew. Let's get to your feedback on Twitter now as we continue on the full-time report. And by the way, we are aware that the app did not work today. There is a power outage near our studios in Midtown. We have full confidence the stream will be back on Friday. We do apologize for that. We know a lot of you maybe driving home right now like to download the podcast. You will be able to do that as soon as we get the internet back, I promise. Dave Davis says, great substitution with he says, Tito struggling on the left side. He was very one-footed today, and Tata made the change, bringing Barco to move Tito to the right.
I wouldn't say that Tito was one-footed. He was struggling on the left. He is playing on the opposite side where he's more comfortable. He's better on the right side, and I think we've seen it when he is on that right side. We saw it when the move happened. He was more dangerous attacking down that side. I don't think it's as much because he's one-footed. He's definitely not that one-footed. He can use the left foot. He's scored some rockets with the left foot, too. But the way the game played out today, Atlanta United just found more success on the right side of the field.
But he brings up Barco. Ed Million also brings up Barco. He said Barco had some good minutes today as well. Barco got about a 20-minute run out, and this is the first we have seen him in a game that counts. He played in the All-Star game, but the first we've seen him in more than a month. It felt like a logical time to bring him back today.
Yeah, it was a perfect fit, and it was a perfect game situation to do it, too, where you bring him in, and he's able to do what he does. He helps you on the ball. We saw good work from him off the ball defensively. It was the Ezequiel Barco that looks like he's picking up where he left off.
Jason Wright says Franco Escobar was his man of the match.
Escobar's in that conversation. McCann's in that conversation. Remedy was great again, 95% passing, 41 passes. He had another tackle. I mean, you could go up and down the list. It was strong performances throughout this team, and Escobar, I think you take him for granted a little bit, and you saw last week how you had to shift everything to overcome his absence, and you get him back in and passing at a 90% clip. He has four tackles. I mean, he's a beast on the right side of the field.
At Sarturnist, is salty, used a naughty word. Oh. Wants to know how Guzan got a yellow card for delay after we see a lot of other keepers doing the same thing he did today.
Yeah, every ref is different, so you got to factor that in. I think Brad needs to work on his time wasting because that was not handled very well. He started off with going over to talk to Chris McCann for some reason and then took forever to bring the ball back into play. He definitely pushed the boundaries of time wasting, and Jair Marufo did not appreciate it.
If the shoe were on the other foot, say Atlanta United by a two-goal margin, I think we would be very upset if Zach Steffen were doing that. But I want to go back to something we talked about during the game broadcast, because I think a lot of people assume Tata Martino, after the Toronto match, was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek when he said, yeah, maybe we need to stall a little bit in the final 10 minutes the way that opponents do when they come here. I'm a little less sure he was being sarcastic now after what we saw today, but quite frankly, there are strategies to employ to guarantee a victory, and this is something that a lot of teams do.
Yeah, he was exaggerating it a bit, I thought. But yes, when you have a lead, you are going to waste time. Tito Villalba is going to take a leisurely stroll off the field when he is substituted and take a yellow card, and that's fine. Brad Guzan will take a yellow card for time wasting, and that's fine. That's one thing you do, and Atlanta United has consistently done that. The more important thing that they did was they got the third goal.
The one yellow card that I actually really, really am not thrilled about today, I know this sounds very silly, but Almiron taking his shirt off. And the only here's the reason why I say that. He's now on the tightrope.
It's true.
That's his fourth. A lot of people on Twitter confused. They thought it was his fifth. It is his fifth caution of the year, but he got some fair play incentive, so he got one wiped out. I'm just not thrilled because, you know, things happen in the course of a match where you can get a yellow, maybe accidentally, and Atlanta United can ill afford to not have Almiron coming up at any point soon.
To me, it showed how emotional that third goal was, because you do lose your head. It's one thing when you know you're a yellow card away from being suspended, because that's in your mind throughout the day. when you're not on that tightrope already, the emotions take over. And that goal was massive, and it was a brilliantly taken goal all the way around. He lost his head in the emotion of it. I'm okay with that in that situation, but he has to be very careful now.
Well, I'm nitpicking a little bit. But, you know, with Guzan and his time wasting, he's not on the tightrope. No. He only had two all year. Vialba not on the tightrope, so it's really okay. Yeah. I thought Jair Marufo did an excellent job today as center ref, as Jason has outlined as well. You knew where the line was. No problem with that.
He's the best ref in Major League Soccer, in my opinion. Yeah. And I know Mark Geiger does not have a lot of fans here in Atlanta or maybe in other places around the league, but FIFA likes him, and he gets those games because he is a good referee by the book. I like the way Marufo manages the game so much better than Geiger or anybody else in the league because he's constantly talking to the players.
Right.
He's very clear in what he's seeing and what he's thinking.
Noah Hirschfield wants to know, how long do you think it will take for Joseph to break the record and get his 28th goal?
Could happen Friday. I mean, you know, this is 8 games in a row now. Friday would be the record for goals in a season. It would also tie Diego Valeri from last season with goals in 9 straight games. Joseph Martinez is just absurd at this point.
Yeah, the goal-scoring streak, I think there are probably some 17s who are pleased that at least now we had a couple other names get on the score sheet today. I've seen that tweeted about a lot. We never really thought that was a big deal because if you lead MLS in goals as a team, who cares who's scoring them?
Let's look at the other side in Columbus today. Jossie Zardes has 15 of their goals now, and they don't have a player with more than one goal from the run of play this season. Federico Higuain has 4. 3 of those are penalties. That's a problem. The way Joseph is scoring goals, and as Tata Martino said, these aren't coming from individual efforts for the most part. These are goals that are brilliantly worked team goals. If it was Tito up top, if it was somebody else up top, they would be scoring some goals. Joseph is just that good at converting these chances.
Do you get the feeling with Opoku, Merrim now in the fold as well, that number will probably change, and you're going to see some other field players with goals in the run of play?
I think Opoku was kind of a roll of the dice today. I think he was good. I mean, his speed, you know, definitely was an issue looking at it on paper with Opoku against McCann. I thought McCann handled it really well, actually. But I think Columbus will go into their default 4-2-3-1 with Merrim on one side, Santos on the other, Higuain behind Zardes. Where I think they can be dangerous is when they go to Patrick Mullins. And they have to make the decision. Higuain hasn't played a ton here lately. He's been out of the 18, I think, 3 of their last 6 games. So does he have the legs? Were you resting him for the stretch run? And do you have that option to go 4-4-2 empty bucket and take Higuain out and go to 2 up top?
Higuain looked pretty effective, though,
he
today.
Did.
No doubt about it.
But can he give you 90 game in and game out?
That's
now?
A very
That's
good
the
question. He played 75 minutes last Saturday in Houston, played about the same today. Let's get the mic drop from Gustavo, shall we? The MLS Crown sponsored Columbus to land in Atlanta, wanted to establish a colony with dangerous balls and counters, but natives Joseph, Tito, and Miggy didn't care. They left with no black and no gold. Columbus's caravels, you might need your help on that one, Jason, sunk in the second half. All crew members were rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard, probably.
Gustavo, always with the good stuff out of Buenos Aires. That was a good one.
Appreciate that, Gustavo. Thank you very much. So now Atlanta United embarks upon a 4-game road trip. They won't stay out on the road for the next month. It'll be week by week. But it's a somewhat quick turnaround to Friday night, and they'll see the Lions for the third and final time this year. Atlanta United has dominated that series to the tune of a +5 goal difference. Orlando City did not play this weekend. They will come into that match on Friday having earned just 4 of a possible 45 points in that stretch of matches. And we'll have a preview of that coming up right after this. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins, by the way, because with today's win, that's another donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation for a current total of $15,000. As a non-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. More in a moment. 3-1 Atlanta United over Columbus Crew here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're going to have to help me out with this one.
Anytime we get a chance to play the Dead Boys, we're going to do it. I mean, we're kind of going punk rock with the full-time report today anyway. We're kind of having to make things up, use a little duct tape, make it all fit. So we go Dead Boys. They're from Cleveland. but there's just not a lot of music out of Columbus to pull from.
Well, Columbus is the capital of the state of Ohio.
It is.
Cleveland is a city in Ohio.
It's close
enough. The Crew are the closest MLS club. I think Columbus is closer to Cleveland than Toronto. I'm almost positive. So, in fact, I know that to be true. It's only a two-hour drive. So, yeah, close enough. Thanks, Oren.
Yeah, we have to do it. Yeah, Oren's been killing it today.
Oren really has. We are aware that we did have problems on radio.com today. We really do apologize for that. There was a power outage near our studios in Midtown, and it took our internet down. We will get the full-time report up on iTunes as quickly as possible. I know those of you driving home from the match want to hear the whole thing. We'll have it up. I don't know if it'll be tonight. Might be tomorrow, but we are going to have it up for you. We are working on that. 3-1 the final again, Atlanta United over Columbus Crew this afternoon here at the Benz. Atlanta United now 51 points, leading MLS, leading the Supporter Shield table. There is, however, a chance that they could be back in second when they go into Orlando Friday night. Red Bulls playing New York City on Wednesday. I think now we're probably rooting for draw FC, right, in that one. I guess a New York City win would be better than a Red Bulls win, but then that screws up the CONCACAF Champions League aggregate a little bit. So I think we're pulling for Drawl FC on Wednesday, right?
Doesn't really matter to me, honestly. I'll pull for red cards.
Yeah,
I'll
that
pull
would
help. For lots of red cards. Can we get an 8v8 finish there? Atlanta United controls their own destiny, and that's the way I think they have to look at it right now. They don't need help in this match. It's a tough one for Red Bulls going to Yankee Stadium, where NYC has only dropped 4 points all season, two of those to Atlanta in a 1-1 draw, and two of those to Vancouver in a 2-2 draw. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to go get points if you're the Red Bulls, and you're coming back across the country from Vancouver. But NYC's got to pick themselves up off the mat after getting dropped 2-0 by Philadelphia. A really good Philadelphia team right now, but both teams coming into that questioning themselves just a little bit.
And they had a red card in that game, too.
Yeah, both teams had red cards in that one in the games over the weekend.
So Atlanta United now going down to Orlando on Friday for a nationally televised game against the Lions. We've already told you numerous times that Joseph Martinez can break the single-season goal-scoring record down there. I can only imagine what that will be like if they stop play and have to do a league-mandated tribute video in front of the wall there as they celebrate the 28th goal by Joseph. I don't think they'll do that. But aside from all that, aside from the fact that Orlando City has had 45 points available to them since they lost to Atlanta United on May 9th and have earned only 4 of those 45 possible points, now Christian Aguita is on red card. Sasha Clishton didn't even go to their last game, which they lost in kind of heartbreaking fashion with Wayne Rooney in D.C. And they're a mess. I mean, quite frankly, they are a mess right now, but you have to be so careful because emotions will run very high on Friday.
Look, it's rivalry week in MLS this week. You have lots of games, Houston and Dallas. You have the Battle of Los Angeles, El Tráfico. You've got the Hudson River Derby in New York. This is part of that, and anytime you're in a game like this, Orlando doesn't have much to play for in terms of the playoffs, but they would love to take points away from Atlanta United and hurt their rivals. And Orlando hasn't been able to do that yet outside of a couple of draws. They have not been able to beat Atlanta United. Wouldn't they love to do it on Friday night when they're coming in 1-13-1 into this? They were on a 6-game winning streak before that started. James O'Connor in charge. Now, taking over for Jason Kreis, I don't think he's settled on a lineup. I don't think he's settled on a goalkeeper. It's a mess in Orlando right now, but they have been in games. They took Columbus to the wire. Will Trapp had a bomb to win that one. They took D.C. to the wire. Wayne Rooney with a bomb of a cross to find Luciano Acosta. They've been in matches. It won't be easy for Atlanta on Friday night.
Well, we'll be on the air from Orlando City Stadium, one of our very favorite places to visit in MLS, Friday night at 7:30. 8 o'clock will be the kickoff time. Jason and I here on 92.9 The Game. It's a Falcons in Jacksonville, Atlanta United in Orlando weekend. So Miller Pope and I are going to do the double, and Miller is going to come with us to Orlando on Friday, which is good because we kind of need a bodyguard down there. We were actually escorted out of the premises the last time we were down there. So having Miller with us this time will probably help us.
We were asked to leave, yes.
Yeah, that's not a joke. That's really not a joke. They were polite, but we were escorted off the premises.
We were told that we would be escorted out.
Yeah. So we will learn from our mistakes and not do that again, but we'll be on the air Friday night at 7:30. And again, we will get the full-time report up on iTunes as quickly as possible. Dwayne Walker will keep the conversation going right after this. For Jimmy Vance, our producer, Miller Pope, our engineer, studio producer, Oren Romain, and Jason Longshore, who did his best to keep me calm today. I'm Mike Conti. The final score again, Atlanta United 3-1 over Columbus Crew, and we'll see you Friday night from Orlando here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.